Missions, the voice of one. Remember John the Baptist? He said that I am a voice crying in the wilderness. I'm not the Christ, but I'm pointing you to Christ. I'm the voice, and that's what we are. Raspy as they are today, we are the voice crying into a wilderness of lost and dying humanity that need Jesus. When Pastor and I go overseas, and I want to say this to you as a church, we've done a few crusades, but that's not our call to do crusades. We go over there because God's put a heart in us for pastors and leaders. And we go and we minister to them. We love on those pastors and those pastors' wives. We love on those ministry teams. That's a call that God has put in our heart, because then they need to go back. They need to be fed so they can go minister to their leaders and their churches. A fresh word, a fresh message. That's what we do. But in a quite really wonderful surprise, not something we planned, but something that we just said yes to, God began to unfold to us another ministry, which we know now as Women Around the World. So today I'm just going to give you a little history lesson. You know, many people wonder why do you do missions when people all around you, you know, if a church is doing what we're supposed to, we are ministering to all around us. We're trying to get Judea, Jerusalem. We're trying to get all of the world right. We're trying to do our very best. Samaria, we're trying to get it all. But we're a church, one voice, and we're all speaking that Jesus loves and that he has called and anointed us as his people. So what I want to do is stir your hearts as a church, and I want to encourage you to believe God to enlarge our territory, as Pastor ministered on last year. We don't have to be a big church, and we don't have to have a big budget to watch God do. I tell you what, we will stand in amazement much more when we don't have it all in our hand than when we trust him. And when we can see what he does, because a little bit goes a long, long way when you put it in the hands of the Lord. It can help build churches. It can help have leadership conferences around the world. It can raise up Women Around the World ministries around, you know, you don't have to be any one thing except a servant of the Most High. And so that's what we want. We want you to dream again. We want you to have visions again. We want you, whatever it is that God's put on your heart, because I know there are dreams in this house, in this building, and you will say, I really feel like God spoke to me. We have all this stuff, but yet we'll sit back and we'll say, but I don't really know if God still wants to use me. Oh, yes, he does. If God will take a 74-year-old woman, 73-year-old woman, he already has to be 74, so I get so confused. 73-year-old, and he's 74, and he'll still raise us up, and he'll use us as if we're in our 50s. He'll do it if we'll dare to believe and say yes to God. And I would encourage you, if God can use Daryl and Darlene Rhodes, he can use you and take you much farther than we could ever dream. But may we just tap in this month into the dreams that God has placed within your heart. That's what we want to do. And Daryl and I found out that we were fanatics, literally fanatics about missions. I didn't know that until all of a sudden it just began to happen. And you know, that's how God does. He just takes us and he's so gentle. Isn't he good? He just takes us and he just leads us. He step by step, little by little. And people say, well, how'd you get into missions? Well, we're just kind of like Apostle Paul. There is something that stirs and burns in our heart. And you talk to us about missions and we get all excited. There's something that burns in there, whether it's a foreign country or a targeted mission that God lets us to do. And so little by little, over the years, Solid Rock, you have become a missions church. You should be happy. You should be excited about that fact, that God's given you something that's much bigger than all of us, reaching farther than we ever have, dreaming bigger than we ever dared to dream before. And so Pastor hit a little bit last week on how we got started, so I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to talk to you just a little bit here about how we started in WAW. What does WAW mean? And where did it start? Those are questions. And I'm going to have two of our gentlemen that are going to come up and speak in just a minute and talk to you. I'm going to give them like 5 minutes apiece, maybe six. But I want them to come up, and they're in a minute. They're going to come and tell you from a perspective that God is dropping into their heart. And I want to say that without the men of this church, we wouldn't be as far as we are along the way. And I know that. I know that. And I thank God for that. I honor our men. I don't want my husband's job. I don't want any man's job. I am very willing to be covered by you. I thank God for you. But we have to have you being men of God. You know, that's how we, that when you cover us as a man of God, it's easy to say, yes, thank you. Because we know that you don't want anything to hurt our spirits. You don't want anything to wound our souls. You take good care of us. So we thank you for that. But what does WAW mean? What does it mean? Do y'all know what it means? Women around the world. Do you know how it started? Maybe some of you do not. So let me take you on a little testimony this morning, just a little journey, okay? Truthfully, for my part, but you were a part, because I was invited to go in 1996 to Nakuru, Kenya, to be a speaker at a ladies' conference. And I got my very first poster hanging inside of my closet, because it was so humbling for God to ask me and let me be part of something that big. I'd never spoken to over 3,000 women in my life. And it was just, you know, I was in awe of God. But that was a response. I ended up there because of a response of sitting in a mission service. You're sitting in mission services today. And God was using Daisy Osborne. And she was sharing her heart about Kenya, where she had been. And I sat there and wept. And I said, God, if you can use me, if you can use her, can you possibly use me? Can God, if you can use Darlene, can you possibly use me? Oh yes. You may not go to Africa. That may not be what God wants you to do, but God wants to use you. I know that, but I believe there's some women that God wants to use and men in this church in missions. I believe that. But anyway, that's where it started back in 1996. I didn't really know what God was doing. I didn't know what he was going to do. There were several years where Pastor and I didn't get to go overseas very much, but God was using those times and those days to do something in me that needed to be done. Rework some areas of our lives. And God was doing that. But yearly conferences started in the year of 2003. Overseas in Armenia and in Georgia. In 2002 I was honored to be with Pastor Darrell and Global Advance to minister on the leadership teams, ministering to men and leaders and women. And so I was blessed to do that. That opened a brand new door. And I was asked in such a beautiful way, would I come and do lady conferences? And I've been there every year except for two, and those were both because of COVID. One was COVID and the other was war that they were having. But other than that, we've been there every year, and God has just used that. But let me take you there just a little bit. I do have a few notes to try to keep from wandering too much. In March of 2006, we had our very first women's conference here at Solid Rock. Now, we'd been going over there for 3 years, having conferences and all, and we'd had different things going on, but we just decided, you know, with my lead girls, we talked, you know, why don't we just have a conference for our ladies? And so we did. You know, we had about 50 of our ladies come, and we just had so much fun. We had such a good time. It was really good. And we were like, the girls and all of the women, like, can we have another one? And so, sure enough, the next year, We did, and we called it the second annual women's conference. That was our second year. And because God was blessing and it was an anointing our time. And so about the third or fourth year, our women began to invite other friends. You know, they'd be one by one, they would invite them to come. And so it wasn't very long before we grew to 100 to 150 women. That happened really pretty fast within the, probably by year five, we were there. And so it was really interesting to see. And we've done, God has blessed WAW so much. I can't even say how much. You know, we had those unique boutique. We're going to get another in January. We'll get another group, a whole group of clothes. But they've been doing that faithfully for several years. And I've never met the woman that owns the store. Never. Never, ever. As far as I know, she doesn't know Christ as her personal Savior, but she has a good friend that knows the Lord and ministers to her. But God, you know, God knows how to do and get to everybody what we need. But anyway, in this particular year, I don't know, and some of you that were here, we had a lady in our town that had a store, and she sold shoes. Did anybody remember the shoes? And that happened to be the first year that we had Sonia and Eric to come. And they were high heel spikes. You know, this pastor's wife, I've always loved high heels. I wore everybody, when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever woman took their shoes off, I put them on. And I've got lots of pictures of when I was a little girl because I was clomping around in high heel shoes. And so I was all excited. And this girl, she brought, I don't know how many shoes that she brought that year and sold them at our conference for $10 a pair. I'm sure she was getting them somewhere overseas. And I think she sold them in her shop for like $20 or something like that. I'm not really sure. But she brought them to the conference and sold them at a cost. And then she gave us $5 of every pair of shoes that we sold. See, I'm telling you that favor follows you. When you're doing something for God, favor will follow you. Don't worry about how you're going to do what God wants you to do. He will provide a way to do it. He just does. But I wanted to share a few of these things because I know some of you wonder, well, what's it all about and how it started? And so that was a lot of fun. And I remember some of you were here, and 1 year, we did this twice. We did it for our 10th anniversary, and then we did it for one other of our WAW conferences. But we had Cindy and the Godfather. And so, see, the Lord called us to pamper the women. And so we would do everything in our power to pamper the women that come. That's how it all started, and it has not changed. It's just God put a mission on us, and when it gets a mission, everybody gets in there and helps. And so that's what we do. But anyway, just backing it up a little bit. So we had Cindy and the Godfather. That's a story in itself. If you missed it, I'm sorry. And so on the 10th anniversary, the first time we put it here, and I want to tell you that along the way, when we first started, oh, did we ever work hard? We still work hard, but we made sandwiches for everybody. We baked. I mean, we were doing it all, and God was blessing that. But just a few years into it, we were able to hire a caterer. How'd you do that? I don't know. Because we didn't charge registration. I don't know how we did it. It never added up. But Pasta House from Festus, but he's a good friend, been a good friend, still believing God for his salvation, for that crew that comes down here, when they come into this building, that they feel the presence of God back there. But they've come year after year. They're going to quit. He was going to retire. He's going to quit that stuff, but they can't help themselves. They keep coming. But anyway, God provided. We began to pay. Not only did our women, they come in on Friday night. And we made sure that they had something good to eat after the service. We had a party. We had a big, back in those early days, we had the fudge fountain, the chocolate fountains going, and all kinds of desserts and all kinds of sandwiches. Yeah, we worked our little fingers to the bone, but I tell you what, it was worth every woman that walked through that door that God was touching their heart. And so it just kind of kept going like that. And then, yes, in our 10th anniversary, we took it over to the factory, and we had Cindy and the Godfather, had a lot of guests there. Beautiful time. I don't know how God did it, but he provided for that also. I've never understand it exactly, but God does it. So we began to have themes. Will you throw those themes up there? We were the fashionable women's conference at first. We didn't know what else to call ourselves. Huh? Oh, we did. That's why. We had a fashion show. Yes, we did. We wore those tire tubes and everything else. It was, huh? Twice. We did that a few years ago. We did it again, didn't we? Just for old time's sake. We're not doing it this year, but we've done a lot. And then we became Women of Destiny. In 2007. See, God prophetically was speaking things. I read this last night. Prophetically, God will do things in your life and you don't even know he's doing it. So that's why I'm just praying for illumination for every person in here, in your life, that you see God at work when we don't know. We don't have a clue what he's doing. And then, number three, transformation from the inside out. Boy, God was working on us, wasn't he? He said, girls, you're going to have to change. Women, you're going to have to change. And then number four, passion for your purpose. God, may we never lose the passion for your purpose. Passion for your purpose, for your will. And then I apologize for my throat, but it's what I got right now. This is it. Number five, grace and grit. Oh, my goodness. Got to be a woman with grace, walk in grace, that when you walk into the room, somebody knows you're there, and it's not because they're scared of what you're going to say or how you're going to act or what you're going to do, but because they sense the presence of God in your life. Walk with as a woman with grace. I know you guys are in here, but you know we're talking about women. This is the road that we've been on with women's conferences. Born identity. So many women, so many men don't know who they are. So we reminded them, born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Oh, I'm born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. Theme song. It was a theme song. Finding out who we are. I'm not who I used to be. I'm still a work in progress. But hang in there. God's not finished with me yet. Here we go, girls. Born identity. And then the next one, hope beyond. Let me tell you a little story beside hope. Tiffany and Lou have been waiting for a baby for years. Got marvelous Max. He's been our baby, and we're so thankful for him, but never been able to get pregnant and carry her own. And she just lost baby hope. But hope became the name of that conference. See, there's a lot of story why behind the what's of things. But see, God always has a plan. He don't waste anything. He don't waste any trouble, any trial you've been through, any crises of your life. Any time when it looked like you were going to go down and go under, God's not wasting that. Don't you waste it. Because what the devil meant for your destruction, God said, hang on just a little bit. I'm going to give you a platform, and I'm going to use you, and I'm going to help you turn nations around. That's the call of God that he has on your life. And then number eight. We ministered legacy, living a life at last. If WAW stops and quits when I go and there's no legacy of it, I didn't succeed. Living a life at last. And I'm telling you, I got some powerful daughters in the Lord. A lot of powerful sons, a lot of powerful daughters, and I'm so thankful for that. Okay, let's move on here. I see the evidence of his goodness. Okay, number nine. This song, I know it's came and he says, "I'm beautiful." That was the title of it. But it also was, "Be you to the full. Don't let somebody else tell you who you are." Do you see what God's doing in women around the world? Do you see what God's speaking, what he's trying to say? And then number 10, that was when we had, "Take me to the king." Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. And let's go let me just tell the story a little bit. You can put it up there, verse 1, that's fine. 6:1, right? Yeah, you have 6:8, I think. Am I in the right chapter? Like I said, I don't have notes this morning. I'm just testifying. Okay, look, can we back that up just a little bit? I'm going to set the stage here for that. On the take me to the king. We've really been crying out for the presence of God to just come in and change the lives of these women. And we begin to pray more and more. But I tell you what, these last 3 or 4 years, we've prayed like we never prayed before. But this was when Isaiah came in and King Uriah had died. Go back to verse 1 if you can. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. When Isaiah saw the state of his nation, when he saw what was happening, and this king that they all looked up to had died, and they wondered, what in the world are we going to do? Do you see how our nation wonders, what in the world are we going to do? The nation of Israel, what are we going to do? But he said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. He come in with a distressed mind, thinking, God, what are we going to do now? Go ahead and move it. Let's move it on a little. And it shows you, I'm not going to go through all that, but what he saw was amazing. I would encourage you to look. But he saw and got a glimpse. And that's what I'm believing God for. That's what's going to happen at Solid Rock. You're going to begin to get glimpses into the presence of God and who he is. Let's go on. Verse 3. Go on. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. They begin, and the whole earth is filled with his temple. They begin to sing. They begin to magnify. And the whole house was shaken by the voice of him who filled it. Let's move right along. Number 5. And he said, and he began, Isaiah began to take a look at himself. And at this particular conference, halfway to where we are now, God did something amazing. There was a presence of God that came in that we'd had good times, we'd seen the presence of the Lord, but something moved in this conference. It was the most beautiful thing, and it has continued, it has intensified. But get to that place where we understand in ourselves we're unclean. And he says, you know, this was when Isaiah began to repent. Woe is me, I am undone. Come on, let's move on. But I have seen, my eyes have seen the king. I have seen the king. And then the presence of God began to come around and begin to take his hand like a live coal. Because he had took it from where that anointing was, where that presence was. Let's move right on. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity, your past, has passed away. Your sins are purged. Let's go on. Then I heard the Lord asking. See, when we come into the presence of the Lord, we understand who we are. When we really come there, we understand that He is God and that we are not. But that when we come into His presence, we also, that's the time that we repent and we say, oh God, You and You alone are worthy to be lifted up. You and You alone are worthy to be praised. And He said, the Lord asking, just ask the people, whom shall I send as a messenger? Who shall I send as a messenger to this people? And Isaiah, well, it's pretty obvious I'm right here. And he says, here I am. Here I am, send me. Number 9. And he said, go, tell this people, because they're hearing, but they're not understanding. They're seeing, but they're not perceiving. The heart of this people are dull, their ears are heavy, their eyes are shut. They see with their eyes and they hear with their ears and understand with their heart. Let them come and understand with their heart. Help them to not hear or see the natural. Help them to hear and see with their heart. When we learn to hear and see with our heart, then we return back to Him. Amen? Okay. Still not preaching. Number 11, my life, his story. That was before that I wrote. I knew I was to write someday, but that was before we wrote. But that was when I knew that God was calling me to be a storyteller, his storyteller. The next one was resilient. And that was, you know, yeah, you got to be resilient if you got to fulfill the call. And then the next one was breathe. You got to breathe because there's an enemy out there that wants to suffocate you. The next one was number 19, she's going places. Oh, that was a good one, wasn't it, girls? I mean, the women, they realized they had commission. They had something. They'd been in the presence of the Lord and God wanted to send them. God wanted to use them. And then in 20, when COVID hit, we had to put it up off a little bit, but unstoppable. Unstoppable. It was a great conference number. And then the next one was 21, one day or day one, you decide. See, we all have to come back to a decision again and again in our life. One day I will, or today's the day I'm going to. And then 17 was warrior. Most of you were here for that. The next one was next. God was saying, are you ready for the next? I've got the next. Don't worry about it. Just trust me. Say yes. I say yes, Lord. And then He'll take you to the next. And then our past one this year was called known. Because before I was ever created in my mother's womb, He had a plan for my life. He had a plan for your life. And He wants us to walk in that plan. He says, will you walk in it? So God gave us some guidelines. We began to take the messages that we were preaching here. We began to take those same things overseas in the fall. And I began to take our themes that we had here. Be you to the full. That beautiful. I'll never forget that conference. That was an amazing time with those women because it was hard for them to believe they were beautiful. It was hard for them to be who God called them to the full. But what a glorious conference we had there. My goodness, we'd have so much fun if we could show you everything. Wouldn't that be fun? But we would take suitcases full of gifts from our conferences, and we still do, so they'd get to be on the fun too. Back in that day, we were crazy around here. I mean, we were dancing for the Lord. We have dance contests, and we take those over. And those little ladies, they had fun. I mean, God brought some joy and fun and laughter into their lives. Huh? Oh, unbelievable. Yes, God just done so much. But there were some things that God gave us guidelines in the early years. And number one was not to charge registration. And in your mind, you could think, God, how in the world and what in the world? But I didn't think far enough ahead to think about that. I just was like, okay, we will not. We're not going to charge. We're going to pamper the women. So we're not going to charge them. We'll let them, they can give free will offerings when they come. You know, our church, I believe God will use our church. And I'm telling you, it's worked through the years. And I've, you know, I remember sitting in a meeting with another situation, and someone made the statement, if you don't charge for a conference, they won't see the value of the conference. But God was like, that may be true about that, but it's not true about what I told you. And so we've stuck with that, and God has provided it. You know, he's just unbelievably. So anyway, we didn't know at the time how God was going to use our conferences to bless the Women Around the World conference. You know, it's interesting. God's really tricky like that. Have you noticed? You know, sometimes we think that about us, and he says it's not about you at all. He said, I just want you to be a blessing and go to the nation, because there's many nations. And so that's sometimes what we do. And there was times when I would say, God, are they going to come? You know, we'd worked hard, and I'd have that little thought, well, what if they don't come after we've done all this? And the Lord really, I remember one year, he really rebuked me, and he told me that was none of my business. He didn't ask me to get the crowd. He just asked me to be faithful and do what he asked me to do. And so that's what we're doing our very best to do. Amen. All right, I think I'm getting tired. I'm just teasing. So, Solid Rock, you're on a mission. You're on a big mission. Supernaturally big mission. We got a video. You may have seen it, but I want you to watch. I want you to listen. May God drop something in your spirit, because something amazing, wonderful is coming up in just a few months. So get ready, get ready, get ready. God's trying to get us ready.
Hello, as the pastors of Solid Rock, we would like to invite you to the 2025 Women Around the World Ladies Conference.
We are so excited because our God is a big God. And so we're excited about what we're getting ready to do. And it will be our 20th year, honey, of Women's Conference here at Solid Rock.
20 years. Well, we have some very special guests that are going to be coming in, and we're excited about our overseas and international pastors and bishops that will be with us.
Yes, and women's leaders, we're very excited about that. We want you to be able to see what women around the world are doing, and so we're excited about this time that God is giving us to celebrate. Our 20th year, our title is going to be Captivated, because I truly am captivated by the love of Christ and what God has done in and through us, what we get to be part Amen. Of, the women around the world. It's been so much fun, and this will be our 20th. Who knows? Before we know it, it'll be our 30th.
Moge sana bitchemu zulpasebo. Tkuen megobre vihat tueni. Ukwe tzlebiya. Otsda khuti tzelia. Pastori Derolis da Darlinis chamusda didi kurtkheva chven eklesiistvis. Didi siharuli da kurtkheva mati stumroba kalta konferentsias. Da traditsiad gvekta qovel tses tkuentan ertat gaviharot upaltan ert. Madloba tkueni lotsvebistvis, tkueni tanadgomistvis, tkueni guluxobistvis. Chvent lotsulobs tkueni eklesiistvis. Gmertma gakurtkhot.
Darlin, thank you. Thank you for your open heart. You are honest in your book, and we are so blessed. And we translated this book in 5 different languages: Farsi, Georgian, Armenian, Azerbaijanian, and the Russian language. And people are so blessed. We are really thankful for all you're doing. And I believe God will do the more. And we can do it in different languages in coming years together to bless the people and to glorify His name.
I was a Muslim, but I gave my heart to Christ about 50 years ago. Because I love reading books, I know Iranian Christians don't have access to them. So I share them as a PDF in Telegram channel and as audiobooks on YouTube. My sister Marjan sent me a copy of the book, The Miracle of Breaking, and I asked permission to make this book as an audiobook for Iranian people. Thanks God, Both PDF and audiobook have been made available for Iranian people. Thank you so much. I love all of you.
We're a nonprofit set up in Israel to serve women in different points of their life of crisis. We have two branches. We have Letzidech, which means by your side. It's set up to help women in situations of unwanted or unexpected pregnancies. We have hotlines to help them, and we also support the mother and baby through the first year of their life. And we have our second branch called the Red Carpet Ministries, set up in the Red Lake District of Tel Aviv. It's a day center for women living on the streets that are addicted to heavy drugs and working in prostitution. We are so excited to join women around the world next year in 2025 for the 20th conference. And we're looking forward to being there with all of you guys.
We are here to thank women around the world for the way they blessed us in Kenya in our Leadership and Women Conference. Lives were transformed, lives were uplifted.
The conference was so impactful. I learned, especially as women, we are feeding many people around the world.
I have learned how to find my identity in Christ, and it has really impacted my life. Thank you, and we are hoping to see you soon.
Hi, women around the world.
We have been missionaries living full-time on the field in both Haiti and Jamaica since 2015, and Women Around the World has been supporting us for the last 2 years. So we are so grateful for your partnership, and the really big news is that we are really excited to get to join you at your conference, and we will see you then.
Hello, kaba ma shine re amiu thimi mya a lu nau sat ba re. WAW conference ma chama ko kho phai pe re atwa jesus tin ne. Chama ta a sai le lhou sha ba re. Khaya thakin ko le jesus ro chi. Kaba ma shine re amiu thimi mya a lu WAW tin dai ko la tayauk cha ba. A yauk si dai atwa khon a phit sei me lo.
The conference is impacting men to serve the Lord. We've been awaiting you. They're asking about you to come. God anointed you for serving women. So remember Tanzania, remember Arusha. We are praying for you. We need you.
Hello, darling. Greeting from me. I remember you and I remember your teaching. I welcome you again in your country, especially in my church. The women in my church, they remember you. They enjoyed you the time you were here in Tanzania. So I welcome you again. We will be happy to be with you in this year. Pass my greetings to your husband, Bishop Dal. We love you and I love you. Thank you very much.
And we stand and we have coronation thanking our sister in Christ who had come over to our place to encourage us through the miracle of the great King. Such an amazing grace the Lord has from her. And truly, we stand here victorious. Okay, the women are rising up, and not just in our church, but the church indeed is expanding. We are now becoming 5 churches.
Precious women, precious men, precious bishops that have opened up their countries to us. And so we're really excited about
them. I'm excited about them coming all the way from their country to Farmington,
yes,
to join us in this conference. So mark your calendars, March 2025, for the Women Around the World Conference right here in Farmington, Missouri.
More astonished than I am at God. Captivated 2025, our 20th years. Years ago, I used to do quite a bit of writing Southern gospel songs, and I hadn't written anything for years. And I was in Nashville with my son. And on my way back home, the Lord gave me a song, Captivated. I was sitting in the airport, and I was thinking about the love of God and how good he'd been to me. And I thought, you know what? I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I'm captivated. He awes me. So anyway, captivated by his love. I'm awed by his grace. And so I can't wait for what God's going to do in this conference. But Carl, would you come and just share a little bit? And then Tyler's going to. Amen. I appreciate all of our men. I mean, you have been helping for years and years. Some of them wondered if they were ever going to get out of that kitchen. And it was hard work. Let me tell you, it was hard work. But I want to also tell you, it was not in vain. I don't care how hard it was. When I go overseas and I see these little ladies, about four or five of them, and they will be cooking outside, and they will literally wash the plates with their hand, and they will dry them. I'm so humbled every time I see it. And but anyway, just perspective from some men that wanted to share.
So who all here has been women, have been to ladies' conference? All right. So there's a few that have not. So I'm going to challenge you as a man. You will be poured into. It is one of the greatest things that I get to do, being here in Solid Rock, to be able to serve. And there's lots of guys that do it. And for the guys who have here served, if you could just raise your hand, I want to say thank you. And I know next year, this is going to be my call, and we'll have more calls, but this is going to be my call to challenge you to give some time to help pour into these women. We all know that women talk more than men. Okay? So, one of the things that as a guy, you come here and we'll take breaks from cleaning and doing other things, and you get to get fed that word. And it is such a powerful word to get fed into or get poured into, okay? And when these ladies leave, after us pouring into them all weekend, and now we've done 3 days. And you had 4 days on the board, okay? And so there's going to be a lot more details that come out with that, I'm sure. But for 4 days, ladies are going to be poured into right here in Farmington, Missouri. There's going to be ladies that come from out of state. I mean, we do it online too, don't we? So they get to see online. So it's going to be all over the world, but it's going to be right here for our 20th anniversary. And the guys, we get to pour in to all of these women. And I made the joke that women talk more than men, but they will tell every single person. Their husbands, their kids, their friends at work. And it's all what we get to do. So scrubbing dishes, bussing tables, getting waters, cleaning up toilets. Not all the funnest things, but it's my privilege, it's the men's privilege to be able to serve our wonderful women, not just in this church, not just in our community, but truly across the world. Okay? God made man and he made woman, and we complement each other in every way. My wife compliments me, she completes me. Okay? So with the words that are going to get poured into these women and the men that come, it will be poured into their spouses. It's going to be the word that they need. And I promise you, no matter what, when we come up here to serve, and I'm talking about the men, when we serve, we're going to pick up the word. Our wives are going to pick up the word. They're going to talk to us. And every time that we come, every time we invite a friend, we are spreading one thing. The love of Christ, the word of God. And this is a very Bible-believing church. You know, you were talking about what we are. We're a Bible-believing church too. What the word says. And we are spreading that word across the world, one person at a time, one woman at a time. And if I can ask from the guy's perspective, it's a lot of work, isn't it? You can raise your voice. It's a lot of work. And you are tired when we're done. But it's all one weekend, and it is so much fun to be able to see the joy and it's joy, it's not happiness, it's joy. And joy comes from the Lord, okay, on these women's faces. And when you're working and you're bussing and you're taking your break and you're sitting on a couch or something and resting, you hear that word. and it's multiple days. It's constant, just like our revivals that we have here. It's feeding us. It's feeding us. Well, this is where we feed solely the women. And I ask the women, if you're not already telling your friends about the 2020, we need to be telling our friends about 2020, or the 20th conference, sorry. Okay? So from a guy's perspective, it's a lot of work. It's a lot more fun. I've done it for, is it 5 years? Christina's been coming for 7 years. We weren't married at that first one. I don't think I worked the first one. But I've been working 5 or 6 years, and it's something I take off for. I make sure I'm down here in time so that we can help park ladies, so that we can usher people in, so we can find seats and ask people to move over and clean up. And I'll tell you, the food, the ushers get the first, or the people who work and serve, we get to take a lot and eat a lot. So I enjoy that part too. But and it's all part of us serving. And it is one of the biggest blessings that I can do. And for the men, I will challenge you to serve next year when we get that opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you very much. Yes, thank God for Carl, our head usher. Tyler wanted to. You know what's really neat? I mean, they're the two guys up here, but they wanted to say something. They wanted to stand up for the women's ministry, so we say thank you. Got his Bible.
Well, you know, I can't come up here without a word. So, I want to tell a little testimony, my little WAW conference testimony. And I wanted to help reframe our mind, some things that Pastor Darlene has already said. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now we did some classes on Wednesday night. And we learned that the word renew actually means what?
Renovate.
It means to renovate. So you have to renovate your mind. What do you renovate your mind with?
The Word
of God. So this is what I want to, 1 Corinthians 2:14. This is the word I want us to help reframe our thinking. And this goes exactly with what some things that Pastor Darlene was saying. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now check this translation in the New Living Translation. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the spiritual means. Man, that's kind of rough. That's kind of rough. Back in the New King James Translation, it uses the word natural. This is what this actually means. It means a human being governed by their own natural human powers and not by the Spirit of God. And a couple of years ago, in the sound booth, we're for the 18th conference of women around the world. Well, I'm in the sound booth. This is on a Saturday. And man, the worship was good. Everything was sounding good. Like the Spirit of God was there. But in the afternoon session, man, it was like the presence of God came in like a blanket. It came in like a blanket. You felt safe. You felt secure. You felt peace. And we went, I don't know how long, where the whole auditorium was full, and we just sat there, and we soaked in the presence of God. This was 2 women's conferences ago. In the next conference. And the next thing that happened was, the Spirit decided that we're going to pray for everybody in the church. And I'm back there watching everything. And I don't know how many people were lined up. 8-10 people praying for people on either side. And all the women were moving through. And I can't tell you how long it took. It felt like it took forever. I mean, they were praying for about an hour and a half at least. This is at the end of the day. And there was something on the inside of me that was like, man, I want to get prayed for. I want hands to be laid on me. I want the power of God and the presence of God. I wanted that. But I just reasoned with myself and I said, well, this is a ladies' conference and you're working the camera. And, you know, but I felt something on the inside of me that really wanted that. So I said, Lord, if you want me up there, you're going to have to call me out or have someone get me. So 7 minutes later, 7 minutes later, Carla, do you remember that? Raised her hand, Carla. Carla comes back there. She runs back there and she said, Tyler, the Lord just told me to come up and to get prayed for. So when that happened, man, my faith just shot through the roof. And I came down here and I got prayed for. Hands were laid over me. I was prayed over. I don't remember what was said. I wasn't even asking God for anything or that I needed anything in particular. I just wanted to receive from God. And so you can't tell me that's a coincidence. You can't tell me that that God doesn't exist and he doesn't answer prayer. You're too late. You're too late. And then many things happened that conference. I remember hearing the conference after, this past conference, of different things, God working through that conference. People got delivered at that conference. Marriages started to be restored at that conference. Let's look at Luke 4:18. This is what happens when the anointing of God is in a place. This is what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I put Jubilee right next to that in my Bible because that's what that is. And all those things happened at that conference. So I'm so thankful that this ministry can go around the world and to go and encourage leaders and go to encourage women. I know that I have been encouraged by other ministries that have spoken the right word to me at the right time to pull me up out of the pit that I was in. And so we do this here once a year. And, you know, we have a God. One of his names is El Shaddai. You know what that means? It means the God of more than enough. It's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. So of course we're going to do it big. Of course we're going to have a lot of dessert. Of course we're going to have a lot of food. Of course we're going to spend all this time putting all these tablecloths and doing the silverware and tying different color strings around it because that's how... Of course that's what we're going to do because that's how God... He is extravagant, and like you said, he wants to pamper the people that comes here, and he's going to do it through us. But that is the heart of God. That is the heart of God. So I'm thankful that we can do this, and so I'm going to reiterate what Carl said. I want you to think about volunteering and serving. Yes, it's 6 months away, but that 6 months is going to go like that. So just get in that frame of mind and know that, yes, we do all these things to feed the natural body, to treat your soul, but it's your spirit that is really getting fed and that is changing you. So you got to put on your spiritual glasses and not see things just from the natural. When you only see things from the natural aspect, that's what the Bible calls carnal. Now, carnal means that you only perceive things with your five senses. You only perceive things by what you see, touch, taste, feel, and hear. But God has given you a sixth sense. Does anybody know what that is? It's called faith. So I'm asking you, we're not just doing this stuff just to have a conference and just to pull people in, just to, you know, make ourselves big. No, this is about a spiritual thing. So I'm asking you, don't see things through a natural lens. See this through a spiritual lens and what God is doing in the spirit. Yes, it's a lot of hard work, but the spiritual rewards outlast anything in the natural. Amen.
That scripture he used, that was in my notes. So thank you for doing that. Wow. It's not about us. It really isn't. There's nothing more humbling than for God to use us when we know, not in ourselves. Least likelies. Can you imagine? Least likelies. They can call us the basket of deplorables in Farmington if they want to. But look what God can do with people that just say, yes, Lord, you can use me. Yeah, I'll wash dishes. Our guys, they've took a lot through the years. I don't even know that we ever asked them to help. They just got in there. They jumped in. And of course, when you jump in, I'm telling you what, ministry's messy, but it's worth it. It's wonderful. It'll break your back. But God will humble your heart. And it's an amazing thing what God can do with a group of people that want to see what God can do. In church, you're doing a wonderful thing. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so proud of you for your saying yes over and over again. I want you to stand up, and I know you got something, and I'll give you just a minute here in just a minute. I want us to pray. We still have a few people that are trying to get their visas. Did you enjoy Nini? Nini's the one that, she's from Myanmar. Little Burmese lady. She's a little spitfire for God. I ministered the Breathe Conference up on the mountainside. We talked about, you know, just saying yes. And in that conference, after it was over, the very next day, she asked a group of women, will you go with me? They're the ones I was telling you, I don't know how in the world those people got there on that mountain. I have no clue how they made it to that conference. But she took a group of women, and they went to a Buddhist festival. The next day, she told her husband, I just got to go. So she took the van, and a driver, a male driver, to go with them. And she took some women. And God gloriously saved some Buddhists that day. And God used them to pray for people that didn't even understand. But God did some miracles. It's people that aren't afraid. And I'm telling you, we hear an awfully lot about what's going on in our country. But I'm telling you, there's some good stuff going on in our country. There are revival fires in some young people that the news isn't telling you. But some of you need to watch a little bit of Fox News and be patient. Because I'm telling you what, we've listened this morning and we watched this morning a coach that his whole team, they listened. He has seven players that have gone on to play in the NFL. Is that right? Well, I'm not much of a, yeah, I think those are the right letters you use. Football, right? Football. Football fan I am. Just tell me when to yell. Tell me when it's good and I'll get excited. But anyway, and the show, there's coming out a documentary, a weekly documentary on this coach and but he's had seven players that's went on. But they Bible study. He has Bible study with them. And then when they pray. And there's these big old football players all around the class praying before God. And he said, I'm teaching them how to be men. See, God's going to raise up a bunch of young men that know how to be men. and they'll get happy in their position, because you know what, man, it's not all about you. God called you. You got a big responsibility, and if you don't do it, you will stand before God. And I can only say that because I lean on my man. I thank God for him. I don't want his job. I've never wanted his job, but I love being his wife, and I love him taking care of me and keeping that spiritual thing over me, because that's how he rules me, with the spiritual. You know what he rules? He rules over the household, because he tells the devil no. But this coach is teaching biblical principles. They are learning football, but they're learning how to be men. And that's their model. Faith, family, and football. See, God's everywhere. God is everywhere. He cares about everything. So he's rising up. I've never heard so many young men in my life on TV being proud to be Christians. And they're okay with that. They're okay. You don't have to like me, but I'm going to stand up. I'm going, and young businessmen, and I'm amazed at God. It's so beautiful. But anyway, we're getting ready. Maybe God's touched your heart. We're going to receive an offering, because Pastor said we were last Sunday. So our ushers are ready, and just given to missions, WAW, given to missions. It doesn't matter. We are getting ready for WAW, and but we're going to pray. What I started to say a while ago, we're going to pray for Nene, because they need to get their visas. They're living in a war-driven land that's just a mess. And they have to hide their kids sometimes. I mean, it's bad. We don't know. I mean, honestly, we don't know, but we need them to come. They need to come. She wants to come so bad. They need to come. They need visas. She's been to America before, but, you know, right now it's hard. And so we need to pray. They ask us to pray with them. Visas are coming in Philippines. They got theirs. Huh? Victor and Grace got theirs. They're good. Pastor Shem and his wife, I think he may have ours. Hers is still coming. We have others that are still waiting. The Ration, who is, you know, I've never met her in my life. The little girl that is doing the Farsi from Iran. How does God do all this? Are you amazed? Yeah. Yeah. My goodness, I stand amazed. You know who did that video up there for us? Do you have any idea? Jessica in Israel did that for us. And by the way, we're so glad all of you are with us today. And we say thank you for joining us. And if you would like to get in on the offering, whatever you want to do, all of the information you can find out on our website. We love you. God bless you.
You know what's exciting? Is these people are coming from Africa, the Philippines, from Eastern Europe, Georgia, and all throughout all that whole area. They're not coming to Los Angeles.
No.
They're not coming to Dallas. They're not coming to New York City. Guess what? They're coming to Farmington. Don't that blow your mind? These people from around the world are coming, and they're going to gather right here in Farmington. What a miracle. What a miracle. Farmington's never seen anything like this, I promise you. They've never seen anything like this, where this many people from different countries of the world are coming in. And we want to thank you for helping us take care of their airline tickets. We're going to bless them. We're going to honor them. We're going to take care of their expenses. And it's when I say we, that's you and me. And I want to say thank you so much. That's every time you buy one of those $10 dresses back there, that's going to help pay somebody's airfare. Every time you go over to that book table or that merchandise table, it goes to help pay for somebody's airline ticket. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was in a service 2 days ago, about 75 people there. And we raised $60,000 in 10 minutes.
Yep. For the campground.
In 10 minutes for our campground. Well, if they can do that, we can do that for
and
our
Solid
missions.
Rock,
amen.
We
can do
seed.
That. Yeah, we
You're
did.
Part of it.
We gave too. Okay, that's all. I'm done. Goodbye.
Okay, we're gonna pray. But yeah, we have some that still are working on their visas. But our people from Israel are coming. But one of the reasons I went off, I didn't want to say more about Jessica and Ilya. being in Israel, because we have to be so careful right now with what goes out on the air. They purposely did not put themselves on that because they knew we would be showing it, but she's the one that did it. And they are coming in January. They're going to spend some time here with us. They love this church. They love you people. We met her, huh? We're going to have a youth revival, by the way, while they're here. Can't wait for that. But God is just doing some really supernatural things. We went to Armenia 2 years ago and met them. We hadn't been to Armenia for several years. I believe we went to Armenia on assignment to pick up Jessica and Ilya and to bring them home. I really believe that with all my heart, that God has put them in our lives. So see, God has divine appointments, but he doesn't just do it for Daryl and I. He does it for all of us because we're a team. We're part of this church. We're part of this family. And so we're a team in what God is doing. And let's just join the team. You're here, you come to church, so you surely must believe in this ministry or you wouldn't be coming. Why not join in? Why not be part of? Why not get excited? Why don't we dream just a little bit bigger? God said, if I can believe you, when we started this, and I know you all need to go home, but hang on just a minute. When we began to want to have people in, my husband looked at me and he's like, are you sure? He did. He looked at me. He said, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And he said, how are we going to do this? And I said, I don't know, but I'm sure. It's unbelievable what God's doing. Dare to believe God for bigger things than who we are. Dare to believe and reach out when you don't know how you're going to make it. Learn to be a seed sower. And I'm telling you, it works. We spent years and years sowing seed, and it's wonderful when you begin to see the harvest come in. So I'm excited for you. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, or maybe you're not in right position, you're in the right place. Because all it does is say, it's a simple thing, is say, I want to give my heart back to Jesus, or I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to serve him. I want to say yes today. I come into the temple just like Isaiah. I come in and I'm wondering, what in the world is going to happen? What are we going to do? It's such a mess. So many things bad have happened. What are we going to do? But then he looked and he saw the presence of God. He became engulfed in what God was doing. May we become engulfed in the presence of God and what God is doing. And that we see that's our goal. That's what we're running for. That's what we're doing. That's what we're living for. You know what? Life is not worth living unless you're living for God. I'm telling you, it's the best life in the world. And it's every day, every breath is worth living. So if you don't have that relationship, I'm going to ask you, we're going to sing just a minute as we're taking the offering. We're going to sing, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. Because see, we have to love ourselves first. We have to forgive ourselves first. So that we can love others rightly. As long as we can't forgive ourselves, if we won't release our own shame and our own pain, then we can't love others rightly. We'll love them through the eyes in which we see ourselves. If you're having a hard time loving, being kind, take a moment and say, how am I seeing myself? Am I forgiving myself? You know, God changed my life in a missionary conference and several of them. God can change your life in this month because finally purpose. Finally, I get it. I see. That's what we've been talking about. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity that we have just to serve you. What a joy, what a pleasure. And so today, Father, I thank you for dealing with all of our hearts and minds. There's some here that today they didn't come in prepared, they don't have, and they don't even know what do you want them to give. And Father, it could be in the days to come because this is a long project. But God, it doesn't matter whenever. I pray you to speak to their hearts. And God, I pray that you will help us all just to step out and trust you like we never have before. And God, more than anything, may your presence draw us in closer to you. And God, for that one maybe that hasn't given their heart totally over to you, may today they make the decision that they're going to walk to the front and say yes to you. Because you do love us so very much. Thank you. as the ushers are coming. You may not have come prepared. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Just do whatever you want to do. You can give online. You can give labor. You can whatever you want to do. But together, let's sing. And if you want us to pray with you, just walk to the front. It's no time for us to be bashful. It's no time for us to be ashamed, but to walk and say, God, I just want to give my life back to you today.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is.
Do you know when we sing this song, little ones to him belong, we always think of the little children. The Word of God says that we come as a child. We come as a child because, see, we have to grow in our faith. But Jesus loves us right where we're at. We come as a child that says, I know that Jesus loves me. I believe that the Word of God is for me.